Welcome to another life-changing teaching by Jerry Dierman, Senior Pastor of The Rock. For more information about Pastor Jerry's teaching and ministry, please visit jerrydierman.com.
How many of you like technology? You like all the cool gadgets, like you go on the internet and you know what Apple's coming out with. You get the news of the latest and the greatest as I'm looking at someone here in the front row that's, yeah, that's me, right? More inventions have been developed in these last 125 years to make life easier, to make life better. We have more accessible knowledge than ever before. If you don't know what to do, Google it. It's amazing. Sometimes I want to ask just to see if it comes up with anything. And just about anything you ask, it has an answer. Maybe a wrong answer, but it has an answer. We have knowledge that is at our fingertips on any topic. Health, happiness, marriage, parenting, money. We are also on information overload. We can connect with people all over the world. Anytime. So why is it that as our society seems to progress more and more, there are more divorces, more suicides, more depression, more sickness, more loneliness, more disconnection? Like the harder the man tries, the less effectiveness he's finding for life. Now, does that mean that those things are bad? Not at all. I enjoy them. I'm looking for something that will, not just I can put my clothes in the washer, but I'm looking for some technology that will wash it, fold it, and put it away. Jerry has that technology. It's called Kimberly. I like technology. Now I guess they're coming out with Apple Watches. That's the big thing. I don't know. There's always something, right? But listen, in the midst of so much information, I've never seen more people more confused, more uncertain on what to do. And life can become so burdensome, overwhelming. So tonight, what I really want to talk to you about is something that is so simple, you may overlook it. And it's something that really we teach here all the time. But teaching it and hearing it does not mean that it will change your life unless you receive it and you actually apply it during the week. It doesn't matter how many times you come and you hear the same message. It doesn't matter if you take pages and pages and pages of notes. If you don't take what you've heard and you apply it, it doesn't produce anything different in your life. That's why the Bible says don't be deceived. If you're just a hearer only and not a doer, you don't get the results of being a doer of the word. Now, thank God, grace is free. We don't earn our salvation. He loves us whether we ever did anything or not. Doing the word of God is not for his sake, it's for our sake. It's not for him. He is already as in love with us as he'll ever be. But he teaches us through his word. Why? So that he can lead us into the kind of life that he's prepared for us. So in the midst of all of this complicated life, I want you to relish in the simplicity of some principles that if you apply them, they cause not just a week to be effective, but they cause weeks and months and years, which make up a lifetime. You know, it's not usually until the end of life that many people realize that they never truly lived. I watch people as they're coming to an end of their lives, and so many of them are focusing on what they wish they would have done differently. Not as many rejoicing on what they did, that they were so glad they did. What I want to share with you tonight are some simple truths that will help you live the life to the fullest. Live a life that's worth living. Live a life that at the end of your life, you're going to smile and go, that was sure worth it. It wasn't perfect. I faced challenges. There was some great stuff. There was some ugly stuff. But it was a life worth living. It was a life worth living. Very few things hold me to a focus. Let me tell you what one of those is. At the end of my life, when I'm done here on earth, I'm convinced at some point I'm going to get to see Jesus face to face. And he's going to look at me. when he sees me and when I'm looking at him, I want him to look at me and go, girl. He'll have to say it in his language. Chica. Girl. You lived the life that I planned for you. You went for it. You didn't live as a mere mortal human being without a God, but you took me at my word and you lived the life that I had planned for you. I want you to go to Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2, let's look at verse 10. Ephesians 2, verse 10. You know, the Bible is God's word. It is God speaking to us, isn't it? It's not a book of good suggestions, good ideas. It is truth, which means if God says it and we apply it, it works. If God says it and we receive it, we believe it, it produces fruit in our lives. Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. I want you to know something, though you have, if you've grown up in church, you've heard this, but most of you don't believe it. God created you, designed you on purpose. He designed you brilliantly. You are a product of God's design. Your mom and dad did help. They were involved. But before mom and dad, God already knew you and he strategically designed you. Look at creation. When you look at creation, it was perfectly, incredibly mastered. But creation, the moon, the stars, and all those things, those weren't the ultimate. That was just his environment getting ready for you. His masterpiece, his workmanship. And yet so many people struggle with insecurities because we don't really believe we are his workmanship. You were created and designed on purpose. According to Ephesians 2:10, God has already prepared a work, a life for you that you should walk in it. God prepared a, listen to me, it's a unique, a fulfilling, and a supernatural life for you. We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. Not good like Taco Bell good, Pollo Loco good, like God good. Remember after the first day of creation, he said, that's good. When the Bible uses the term good, it's based on God good. It's really good. You were created for works that God prepared beforehand. And he's saying to us, you should walk in those. Not only were you designed intentionally, but the life that you were called to live, God prepared it for you. You're not even the one having to come up with it. Do you know how freeing it is when you know you're not, you don't have to fight for your life? God already prepared it. When I prepare a meal, I invite people, come and sit, partake of what I've prepared. If it's prepared, they're not cooking it. I've cooked it based on my ability. I always, when my kids were at home, we had this thing where I would say, okay, if I tried a new dish, they got to tell me, is this a keeper or I never do it again? And I love the honesty in our family. It's a value to be honest in our family. Therefore, I always got the genuine truth, even when I didn't want it. But when you call somebody to come and partake of something you've prepared, it's already done for you. Now you're putting it in your mouth. You're partaking. Listen, God already prepared your life, and he did it based on his ability, not yours without him. Because he's the one that prepared it. So God created you on purpose. He designed you intentionally, and he prepared a unique, fulfilling, listen to me, supernatural plan. People that try to live their life without God will never live the life that God prepared for them because it requires the very presence and partnership of God. If your life could be lived without God, you're not living the life that he planned for you. Did you catch that? If your everyday life could be lived with or without God, you're not living the life he prepared for you because what he prepared for you takes him being actively involved in your life. It takes constant, whoa, that was God moments. If what you're accomplishing, you could accomplish without God ever doing a thing, you're living the life that a human being could produce. And that is so way below what you were designed to live. Now, just in case you haven't convinced you, Psalm 139, verses 13 through 16 says this: "For you formed my inward parts, you covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed." In other words, God was involved from the beginning. Before you were even there, God was already involved. Listen to this. "And in your book, they were all written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them." In other words, before you lived day one, in the book, there's a book that has your name on it. I hope mine's not like this, you know. Oh, there's a little pamphlet called Kimberly. No, I hope it's like this. Woo! You have to two hands and move it down. You know what I'm talking about? There's a book with your name on it. And God says, in that book, your days were actually written. And those days were fashioned. Do you know what fashioned means? Specifically chosen based on your design. Fashion is a good word. It's not a bad word. It's a good word. Fashioned for us. See, if you believe that, it changes how you approach life. If you truly believe that God has written your days, that on there is actual days with plans written for those days in your life, when you believe that, then it makes you call out to him and say, what is in that book? What is in that book? I believe there's really a book. I believe those works are already written there. And by the time I get to the end of my life and I get to see him, I want to find out that the book I wrote here on earth looks like the book that was written in heaven. I don't want to find out we had two different books because I know which book is better. God determined and he prepared your days. Monday is written, even Monday. Monday, it's even written in there. Tuesday, seasons of time, they've been written. But listen, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, because if it's true that God has a plan for you, it's already been prepared, and your days were already written in his book, how does that affect us living here on earth? How do we find out what's on those pages while we live here on earth? Well, I want you to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I love 1 Corinthians 1 and 2, but self-control. I won't even begin to go there tonight. But we can hang out afterwards, and then we can talk about it. It is so good. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I want you to look at verse 9. Verse 9, as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Now, that's actually extremely depressing and discouraging if it stops there. If that was the end, this would be the message. The marvelous things that God has for you, you will never know. Too bad, because they were good. I am so glad verse 9 is not the end. And we know that because verse 10 starts with a huge word, B-U-T, but. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. In other words, those works that God prepared beforehand in Ephesians 2:10, your eyes aren't going to see it. Your ears aren't going to hear it. And it's not going to enter into your mind what he's prepared. But let's look at verse 10. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Listen, here's the good news. God has this plan for your life. Your days are written in the book. He knows exactly what he destined you to do. It is already fashioned. It is prepared. Every resource is available. All wisdom is available. Every victory is available. Everything you need to fulfill the plan that he has is already prepared. Done deal. He says, now go. But you're not going to catch the plan of God with your eyes, your ears, and your thinking. And yet, how many Christians, how many believers live life by what they think, what they hear, and what they see? See, the warning on that is, don't live by your senses. Thank God for them. I like being able to see most of the time. I'm not so crazy about those mirrors that have the 15 magnification little tool. You think y'all look good, and then you go to those mirrors that enlarge everything. And you're like, good night. Some things are not worth seeing. It's all right. Thank God for the senses. He gave those to us so that we could enjoy life. Certainly there are advantages to them, but we were not, as believers, meant to live life by those limited natural abilities. It says, though, that God revealed them to us. Them what? The things that God has prepared. He revealed them. Do you know what revelation is? Revelation is something that has always been there, something that is there, and it is uncovered. It's not something that is being brought about new. It's just peekaboo. There it is. God reveals his plan to you by his Spirit, through his Spirit. In other words, the plan is already there, and to you, You're not necessarily aware that it's even there. We're going to find out how you find out. But when you see it, that veil is revealed. It's taken off and you're like, oh, I see it. But you don't see it with these eyes. You see it in here. God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. Verse 12 says, now we have received not the spirit of the world. We have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Listen to me. One of the greatest tools the enemy uses on the humanity is to deceive them from receiving Jesus Christ. But one of the greatest tools the enemy uses to deceive the body of Christ is to keep them from the plan that God has. He'll keep us trying to figure things out. He'll keep us paying attention to the spirit of the world, all the knowledge, all the books that are out there, all the information. I mean, there are 24-hour shows talking to you, giving you opinions. Doctor this, doctor that. I'm not saying all those things are bad, but listen, when those things become your source of decision-making, when it becomes the source of your life, you are living life like a mere mortal human being, and you're under the spirit of this world, which Paul says it comes to nothing. The greatest wisdom of the most wise people who have not God amounts to nothing. And yet, how much time do we spend going after that wisdom? Because we haven't caught it yet. That he is the one who has the wisdom. He's the one that has the plans. Don't waste your time in the godly and the counsel of the ungodly. It will amount to nothing. But see, we have received not the spirit of the world, but we've received the Spirit, which is from God. So for what? So that we might know the things that have been freely given to us. Freely given to us. These things, the plan that he has for you, it's been freely given to you. He's not trying to keep you from it. He's not trying to withhold it from you. I'm telling you, I don't want to get to heaven and find out that he had this table set up for me with all of these things, and I only partook of a little appetizer because I didn't believe that he really had everything I needed and that he really had a great plan for my life. The only way you're going to know the plan of God is by the Spirit of God. The only way you're going to know the plan, the only way you're going to know the plan for Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday is by the Spirit of God. John chapter 16. I love John chapter 16. This is Jesus talking to his disciples before he's getting ready to go, and he tells them, hey, I'm going to depart. And where I go, you can't come. And so sorrow filled their hearts. You have to remember, these guys hung out with Jesus. They were there with him when he did all his miracles, when he opened the eyes of the blind, when he caused the deaf to hear, the paralyzed to walk, the lame men, remember? He raised the dead. Those who had leprosy, how many healings? Their little skin was like clean, clean, clean. He taught them not as a scribe or as a religious person, but as one having authority. And they were with him. They were listening to him. They were watching him. And when the crowds left, they got to hang out with him afterwards going, okay, now we don't understand. Can you explain this to us? And he would explain the mysteries to them. So when Jesus says, I'm taking off, they're like, I don't think that's a good idea. I don't think so. But John chapter 16, verse 7 says, Jesus says this, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Listen to how radical this is. Jesus said, I know you think it's better if I stay here with you, but it's to your advantage that I go to the Father, because when I go, the Holy Spirit will come. And the same Holy Spirit that was in me, that filled me, led me, and empowered me, will be the same Holy Spirit that will fill you, lead you, and empower you. Not a different spirit. A spirit in training. No. The same Holy Spirit that filled Jesus is the same Holy Spirit that Jesus said, he's the one that will come to you. See, when Jesus was here on earth, he could only be in one place at one time. So if he showed up at the Rock, he couldn't be an Assembly of God church. That'd be bad. We need him at all places at all times. And when the Spirit of God would come, now the Spirit of God in us would be at all places where we were. Right? So Jesus is saying, listen, it's to your advantage. And then look at verse 13. Part of the responsibility of the Holy Spirit is this. When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into some truth. Depends on his mood. Depends on how spiritual you've been for the day. Depends on whether you are sin-free, sin-bound. No. When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He is not listening. He, the Spirit of truth, is not listening to CNN, even not Fox News. He is not listening to the wisdom of man. He is listening to the plan of God. And he comes and he brings that to you. He guides you into it. He declares it to you. He reveals it to you. The helper, the Spirit of truth, has been sent to guide you. I've used this example, but it's one of the best examples I know that I learned about the Holy Spirit. In 2004, we went on a Disney cruise, and we went into this part of Puerto Rico called the Yunque Forest. And it was amazing. Gorgeous, green, lush. Do you know what green is? Like real green. Do you know what I'm talking about? Green? Do you know the color of green? Look at it on the National Geographic Channel. It's green. It's real. Okay? It was beautiful. Trees everywhere. After you walk in, just for a few minutes, you kind of get overcome by this jungle. And people like me, who are directionally not just impaired. That'd be a mild description. Put it this way. Jerry will sometimes say, honey, do you think we should go to the right or to the left? And I go, I think left. He goes, I thought it was the right. When I walk in there, I'm looking around. I'm going, oh my goodness. Like, how does this person know how to get us through here? I mean, it was us and two other families, and we had the tour guide, but I was just astonished because it all looked the same. I didn't know if I came from there, from there, from there, and I had no idea which way was out. We stayed there about 2 or 3 hours, swam in ponds and waterfalls, and it was phenomenal. At 2 o'clock, when we were supposed to be at the van to get back on the ship, we were at the van, and I'm still in awe. It's like, my goodness, lady, you're so smart. How did you get us through this place? You know why? She'd been there many times before. She was familiar with that terrain. What was unfamiliar to me was common to her. She had seen it. She'd experienced it. She had studied it. She knew everything about it. And what made that jungle so fun was because we had someone who knew their way around guiding us. take the tour guide out and leave Jerry, Kimberly, two children, and two other families. Santa Barbara. As good as Jerry is with directions, no rock would have been continued by the Dearmans. Lost in the jungle, the mighty jungle, right? Gone. Listen, same location. What makes the difference in the experience, whether you have a guide or not, who knows their way around? Well, life is like a jungle. It is. You get in there, and I'm telling you, sometimes you look around and you think, I don't know which way I'm supposed to go. You face decisions, business decisions or financial decisions. Some of the toughest decisions are family decisions, challenges, and it looks impossible. And if you're somebody that lives by what you see, what you hear, what you think, you'll approach it the way someone who doesn't have a real God approaches it. You'll figure your way through. And chances are you'll get lost and spend your whole life fighting your way through that jungle. But when you have the tour guide and you come across a place and you're like, I don't know, it just looks like a cliff. It doesn't look like there's any way out. The tour guide says, oh, there is. Come follow me. Maybe narrow, but you don't fall. What makes the difference? Listen to me. You have the Spirit of Truth, who's the helper, whose assignment is to guide you, to be your tour guide through life, to show you the direction that God has already prepared for you. One of the greatest things you can ever learn to do is to recognize the voice of the Holy Spirit. If you don't know how to recognize the voice of the Holy Spirit, you cannot live the life God has planned for you. But all have the ability to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in John chapter 10, he said, my sheep hear my voice. And Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will guide you. And 1 Corinthians 2 says, the Holy Spirit will reveal to you the plan of God. Now, for the last 2 or 3 years, I've been studying Genesis chapter 1. It's a fabulous chapter. Creation. And I won't go into all the details, but I've learned that God, and you already know this, but God is brilliantly strategic. He's not haphazard. He's not frazzled. Where are the keys? Oh, Jesus, we forgot about this. Holy Spirit, run, run. No. There's an order, a sequence, and a brilliance to creation. Day one needed to take place before day two. What was created in day three had to come after day two. In other words, one had to exist before the next, and then the next, and the next. Little by little, glory by glory, glory to glory to glory. Well, listen, when it comes to our lives, he's the same God. He's pretty strategic. He's pretty brilliant. And there's an order to our lives. Order doesn't mean boring, by the way. For those of you that confuse God with boring, you don't know the character of God. The reason you can laugh is because you were made in his image. The reason why you have imagination is because you were made in his image. God is not by any means boring, but he's orderly. There's a brilliance to his strategy. And when it comes to our lives, some of you aren't going to believe this, there's a brilliant strategy to your life. There really is. It's not chaotic. It's not hit and miss. It's not all over the place. 10 steps ahead, 5 back, run them out. No. There's an actual beautiful step. Day one, day two, day three. That's who he is. And when you can tap into that order and that, if I could say, that sequence, oh my goodness, you find out truly the amazing brilliance of God. Now, that may all sound great to you. You think, okay, well, God's done his part. but translate for me to what it looks like this week. Well, knowing that God created you, knowing that God has a plan, knowing that your days have been already fashioned, knowing that God gave you the Spirit of truth to guide you into all truth, so there's nothing that the Holy Spirit will withhold from you. Whatever you need to fulfill the plan of God, He has the answers, and He's committed to showing you. So what's our plan? How do we live out this plan? I told you, this isn't complicated. What I'm going to tell you tonight, you're not going to go, oh, never thought of it. But it's not whether you've thought of it or not. It's, are you doing it? How do you live out His plan? Seek Him. Ah, come on. I thought there was a little device I could just click and say, what's the plan for tomorrow? Click and download. No, this thing about living life with God actually means with God. He literally meant that this journey of life would require His presence, His fellowship. He didn't create you so that you could run life and then a few years later you would see Him. He created life for you so that together you could walk on this journey. And the only way you're going to find out what this plan is by seeking Him. You all know the scripture, most of you, Jeremiah 29. I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Who knows the thoughts? God knows the thoughts. God has a plan in your craziest of moments. God has a plan. And the things that are absolutely bewildering you, God has a plan. He has business ideas. He has concepts. He knows how to restore your marriage. Listen, He knows keys to your marriage that can cause your marriage to actually be enjoyable. You know, it's sad to say, but many Christians tolerate their marriage. They live with each other because they made a commitment and they're going to stick it out. Yay. But that was never God's intention for you to just hang in there, sweetheart. Soon it will be over. Part of the plan of God was for your marriage. And so many people go around the same mountain over and over and over and over and over again, year after year after year. What would happen if you drop to your knees and say, we are going to seek God until we get answers, until He shows us what to do in our marriage. And then when He begins to show you, you actually do it. Jeremiah 29, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. They're thoughts of peace, not of evil. They're to give you the hope in the future that I planned. But here's the issue. You have to call upon Him and go and pray. I will listen to you. What is He listening to you say? God, I need to know your ways. Thank you for the counsel of the godly. Thank you for the conference. Thank you for church. Thank you for OSL. Thank you for the teachings. Thank you even, yay, for Google. But I'm coming to you and saying, you're the source of my life. And unless I hear from you, I don't know what to do. So I'm turning off my phone. One of the world's greatest distractions. That which is a blessing can become a destroyer of your family, of your time. One of the worst things you can do. Ooh, I'm going to step on toes. All right, let's do it. One of the worst things you can do is wake up in the morning to that phone. Information, information, information. Urgent, urgent, need, need. Already priming you to be a man or a woman who lives by the natural. All right, moving on. Then you will call upon me and go, go. Get out of your comfort. Get out of where it's noisy. It's amazing to me how many times, well, I can't get away for a day. So you have more confidence in your busyness for that day than what will take place if you go for a day and seek God. Listen to me. Our actions demonstrate our faith. Because we can sound Christian, we can sound faith, we can sound all those things, but it's how our schedule is lived out. It's how our days are lived out that shows what we really believe. And if we think staying busy is going to produce more than pulling aside and seeking God, if you think getting up in the morning and working 20 hours is going to produce more than setting some time aside to seek God, then you will live the life of a mere human being. But God has so much more. You will call upon me. You will go and pray. And I will listen to you. Isn't that amazing? Listen to me. We take the "I will listen to you" for granted. Somehow we think that praying is a chore. It's a Christian discipline. And I understand. But do you understand what pray to me and "I will listen to you" is? I, God, who love you with everlasting love and who have committed myself to you and who are all powerful, I will listen to you and I will respond to you. See, when you believe that, how can you not? How can you not? Going to him and praying and seeking him, it's not a discipline. I understand what that means. It's part of what we train ourselves to do. We discipline ourselves to do. I understand there are days where we don't feel like it. Yes, I don't wake up with angels singing every day. As a matter of fact, never. I don't always just run and pray because I want to. Sometimes I do it because it's the right thing. But when I come back and I meditate on the fact that God Almighty is inviting me to learn from him who has all the answers, it doesn't seem like much of a sacrifice. In the Old Testament, the priest could go in into the presence of God, and then they had to do all those sacrifices. And today we have the privilege, because of a new covenant, to simply go, "Father," and he's hearing us. But the enemy will come in to keep you distracted, busy, busy, dreadfully busy, running, running, the hamster in the wheel, faster, faster. He'll come in with pressure. He'll come in with discouragement. I'm telling you, something on the inside of us needs to say, "I don't care what, I am going to become a seeker. On a regular basis, I will be a seeker. Before I just make decisions, I'm going to seek. Before I get married, I'm going to find out from God his thoughts on who, when, where. Before I just buy a house, I want to find out where, which one. Before I choose a career or a college, I want to seek the one who's already prepared and in his book is the university or the college or the not of where I'm to go." See, if you're not careful, God, it becomes so general to you, you don't realize he's involved in your everyday life. "Go and pray to me. I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." You will seek me and find me. Have you ever lost something and you sought for it and you sought for it and you sought for it and you never found it? I think somewhere we think God is the same way. We'll take time and seek him, but I don't think we're convinced we're going to find him. Because if we really believed that we would find him, we would seek. Because there is no better than him. There is no better than him. "You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all my heart." Here's something, in those of you that have gone through any level of OSL, you've heard us teach on this. But I've been doing this little practical system of simply writing some things down. I've been doing this since the 1990s. That's a long time ago now, people. Those of you that think it was just yesterday, it's not. It's not. It was a long time ago. I began to realize, and Jerry and I, and we'd gone through some classes, and we began to realize God calls us to play certain roles in life. See, if you go and you just say, God, talk to me about life, that can feel overwhelming, can't it? Doesn't it? It's like, where do you start? We learned, Lord, you do everything so well. There's a simple process where we can simply capture what you're saying to us. So we identified the roles that we're called to play. First of all, I'm his daughter. First and foremost, before I'm anything else to anyone else, I am God's daughter. That's my first role in life. Because everything stems from here. Whatever goes out here is because of here. If there isn't much out here, it's because I haven't pressed in here. But this lateral relationships are supposed to be lived from the abundance of what's happening here. So first and foremost, I'm God's daughter. Then I'm a wife. I'm a wife to Jerry. I'm Jerry's wife. That's a role I play. I'm a mother. I'm a mother to Alexa. I'm a mother to Jonathan. That's a specific role I play. I'm also a daughter or an extended family member. There are certain roles that I didn't have to pray and say, Lord, is this a role you want me to play? Once I said I do, that was it. I did, right? So I don't have to pray and say, Lord, would you still like me to be Jerry's wife this season? Lord, do you really still want me to be Alexa's mom right now? No. There's certain roles. That's it. You're a son, you're a daughter, you may be a wife, a husband, a parent, an extended family member. But listen, the other roles are roles that I keep coming back and saying, Lord, as a pastor, what is in this season of life, what is my role as a pastor? Right now, for me, as a district supervisor, Lord, as a district supervisor, I'm seeking you. What is my assignment in this season? See, identifying those key roles that you know God has called you to play. Some of you are students. Say, Lord, have you called me to be a student? Am I even at the right place? It's amazing what happens when we bring things to the Lord and we present them. It gives him an opportunity. Tell us what he's been wanting to tell us from the beginning. Do you know how much money would be saved and years saved if people asked him first instead of doing it and then finding out that was a waste? Ask him, am I an employee? Lord, is this the place you've called me to work? Is this the company you've called me to work? Your ministry, what's your role in ministry? Is this a role you want me to play? Lord, I'm bringing these things to you. And then prayerfully ask him, so Lord, speak to me regarding those roles. What are the focus? What are the targets? What are the goals? Not like the New Year's resolution goal things. Remember those? Where at the gym, you have to stand in line January 2nd through March 1st. Everybody's there because of their New Year's role, their goals. And then by right about March 15th, okay, those goals are over. Here we go. Right? All is well. I'm not talking about just sitting there and saying, oh, I think I want to do this. I want to do this. No. This is you're away somewhere without the interruption of the phone, seeking God and saying, God, regarding these roles that you've called me to play, what is it that you want me to focus on in this season? I do this particular exercise I do in December at the end of every year. I take the day. I turn off my phone. Off. There is an off button, people. I let my family know. I let whoever needs to know. Call me all you want. You won't be able to reach me. And unless there's blood and a lot of it, don't come find me. In other words, me pulling away from the busyness of everyday life is the most important thing I can do, and it's the most loving thing I can do for my family and those I serve. But I do. I take a day, that whole day, and I get my water and my journal, my Bible, and a pen. And there's no formula. Sometimes, or some years, I've started with just as thanksgiving to God. and praise. Other years I've started by falling on my face and just weeping before God. There's not a right way to start, except you come and you say, God, I'm coming to you because you are my God and you're the one I depend on for my life. You're the one that I need. And so I'm coming to you and I thank you that Jesus said I could hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. I could hear his voice. I thank you that you already have a plan for me and that the Spirit of truth will guide me into that plan. So I open my heart. Lord, as your daughter, what do you want to do in me in this season? One of the greatest victories I received came from that simple exercise. Many of you have heard me share, but on one of those December days when I went before the Lord and he said, I want to teach you. I want you to see yourself the way I see you, and I want you to see me for who I am. Because I told you, coming up from being a daughter of an alcoholic, coming through a whole lot of rejection, I was a people pleaser, a perfectionist, never felt God was pleased, always felt God was mad at me. It was never enough. And I knew that year God was going to work something in me so that I saw him the way he really was, and I began to see me the way I really was. And the simple instruction he gave me is get my word in your ears and get my word out of your mouth. That was it, people. I was 32 years old, 32 years of issues. That was it. That was the only instruction I got. Get my word in your ears. Get my word out of your mouth. And I did it more intentionally. I listened to people who were so much further along. I listened to people who had grown up under hard circumstances and had gotten the freedom and the breakthrough that I needed. I listened to them more intentionally, but it was at that season that I learned to become a preacher to myself. And listen to me, it was that July of that following year when it was in my devotion time. I didn't wake up any holier than I normally did. There wasn't anything more spiritual in that day. It was just a normal day with Five Life Bible College interns making waffles while I was sitting there praying. And I'm telling you, it was like God came. He removed the glasses with which I had seen him and saw and had seen myself for 32 years. And he put on the glasses that he wore that showed me who he was and how he saw me. It was called revelation. It was revealed. Something that had been hidden, covered up, that I couldn't find that place in him where I was confident. I found it. That day, boom, it was revealed. It changed my life. See, I know that I couldn't do what I do now in my roles, the roles that I serve in. I couldn't do them if that hadn't happened. Why? Because I would have been a basket case if I was a people pleaser. Because in some of the roles that I play, nobody likes what one person likes what I say, the other one doesn't. 2 agree, 10 disagree. And when you're a people pleaser and you don't understand how God sees you and you feel like you're never enough, boy, those things can just break you. And now, because of revelation of who God is and how he sees me, I can be around people that I know don't like me and I can still love them. I can still hug them. I know they've talked about me, and I can still squeeze their neck and smile at them and do it sincerely. And not because I'm nice, because I'm not that nice. It's just been revealed. There's freedom. I don't go home at night sucking my thumb, rocking back and forth. They didn't like it. They didn't like it. They didn't like it. I'm like, Lord, bless them. Help me to do everything right before you. But as long as you're smiling, we're going. Síganme los buenos. Years of blindness to who God was and to who I was in him. But by a simple instruction of taking a day in December and saying, Lord, as your daughter, what do you want to do in me? And jotting down those two simple things, get my word in your ears and get my word out of your mouth, and actually doing it brought freedom. What if I hadn't sought him? Or what if I had sought him and I wrote it down and I never did anything with it? I don't know what my life would look like right now, but I think it'd look pretty different. See, it doesn't look like a whole lot in itself when you go before God and he gives you a word, because usually what God gives you doesn't seem like enough. That's why it requires faith. When he told Abraham, I'm going to make you, Abram, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. And I swear to you, that didn't seem like enough. When he told Peter, it is I, come out of the boat, come did not seem like enough to cause a human being to do something impossible. But because Jesus speaks those words, with those words come the power to break free, to cause the impossible to become possible. See, this isn't an administrative wishful list of, I think I want to do this. No, this is, God, I need you to speak to me. As a wife, as sweet as I am, God has instructions for me every single year. I haven't reached the ultimate peak of perfection as Jerry's wife. Now there's instruction. He'll show me in this season, focus on this, or sometimes focus on what I told you last year again. I have a few of those. That one didn't take. Go ahead and let's do it again. And for my children, as I review the things that I've written year after year, I begin to see this beautiful sequence of God working in my life, which didn't look like much while I was in it, until I can look back and I go, oh my goodness. I get to walk this marvelous, incredible life, not because of me, but because I've allowed you and asked you and invited you to lead. And I just keep following. And listen, following isn't always easy. It's simple, but it's not easy. Because sometimes he says, go ahead, walk off. And it's a lot deeper than that. Go ahead, walk off. The instruction isn't always easy. But I've learned, if I'm not ready to take that step, man, that's where I stay in his presence. Until he gives me that strength and that courage and I see it. And I go, yeah, come on. Come on. Prayerfully identify the roles that God's called you to play in this season. Prayerfully identify what you need to focus on. You know, we're not in December. I think we're still in April. Is that true? Okay. Take some time if you haven't already. Take a day away. Turn that phone off. Give it to somebody. Go to a place where you won't be interrupted. And simply say, Lord, I don't want to miss the plan that you have. And I'm seeking you. And write it. Write the date on it. Write as your daughter, your son, as a wife or a husband, mother, whatever it is, those roles that you know. And then say, Lord, speak to me regarding those. What is it that you want to work in me? What is my assignment in those roles in this coming season? Habakkuk 2:2 says, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. One of the deceptions that can happen when you do these this simple exercises, you go, you seek the Lord, you write it down, you put it away in your drawer. And it goes back to Luke chapter 6. Have you ever heard of Luke chapter 6? He who comes to me and does my sayings, he's like the man who built his house on the rock. And when the floods came, when they came, they will come. Listen to me. They will come. They will come. But the man who came to Jesus heard and did what he said. When those floods came and come, they can't bring destruction. They can't even shake the house. But the man or the woman who hears the messages, who hears the exhortation, even who goes and takes a day off from work and turns off the cell phone and writes what God says and puts it away and never does anything with it, when the floods come, that house will be destroyed. It's not enough just to write it. And it's not because God's going to be happier with you if you do something. Listen, we already settled that. You are deeply loved if you never did anything nice or for God again. But this is the strategy. This is the way that God set up for you to live the life that he prepared for you. You've got to get it from him. The Holy Spirit will reveal it to you. and then you've got to apply it. You've got to apply it. Read it weekly. Sometimes I have to read it every day because I forget in certain roles. I forget because some things get tough. And I have to go back and say, no, Lord, you said, Lord, you said, Lord, you said. As a matter of fact, so oftentimes what you write down is the very opposite of what you're seeing with these eyes. So think about it. If you were living life by what you saw, it's completely the opposite of what God has said. And the eyes lead you this way when God's saying, no, I need you to hear me because I'm taking you that way. Read what he says to you. Read it. Do something with it. Put it on your calendar. Make it a priority. If you do nothing else in that season but those things that God said, you will have more effectiveness in your life than if you did everything else but what God said. Seek me and you will find me. When you search for me with your whole heart, it's a life principle. It's a lifestyle. And writing down your roles and the focus that he gives you for those roles is just a simple way of capturing what God is saying to you so that you can read it, you can run, and you can evaluate. You can go back and say, did I do what you're saying? Lord, if I'm not doing it, why not? I wish I could tell you story after story. If I could show you my years of journaling these things and God giving an instruction and that being the very thing that brought the freedom or the breakthrough or the preparation for that following season. God has a plan for you. It's settled in heaven. And though you hear a lot of voices and though you hear a lot of opinions on what you should do with your life, with your health, with your money, with your family, with your marriage, there's only one voice that after all is done and said really matters. But you're going to have to go after him because you probably won't just bump into his will. When you seek me with your whole heart, you will find me. And when you find him, you find the plan that he has for your life. He's not probably going to give you the next 10 years, some of you that like to be prepared. But whatever he gives you, listen to me, whatever he does give you, it's exactly what you need. Simply do that. You're not responsible to do more, but don't do less. Simply stay focused on what he said. Even if it's just one word. Because if he's speaking it, it will cause you to live supernaturally. Would you close your eyes? I so desperately want you to get this. Because the days are going by quickly. And some of you are letting life happen to you. And if you're not careful, days will become weeks and months will become years. And you'll find yourself in a place of looking back going, why didn't I? You were designed so brilliantly, so strategically, so beautifully. God didn't throw you together. You don't have leftover parts. Before you were even in your mother's womb, God already knew you. And he'd prepared those days. And they were written in his book with your name. There is no greater life to live than the life he's prepared for you. Jesus said, I've come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. There's no abundant life outside of his plan. And in his plan for you is not just for you to have an abundant life, for you to be blessed, but for you to become a blessing. This life here on earth is a journey, man and God. What can man and God do together? So I pray that you would not be pulled in to the complexity, the information overload, the confusing messages and all the pressure that our world lives in, but that you would find the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus, that he has a plan and he wants to lead you on Mondays, on Tuesdays, on Wednesdays, every day. You may think I've already messed so much up. I've lived my life on my own and I've already wasted so many years. But the good news is, though you can't change your past does not have to determine your future. We have a God that said, I will restore to you the years. He has a way of recalculating and bringing us to a place that is so precious, so sweet, so marvelous, that the past doesn't hold a candle to it. So regardless of what your past has looked like, there's an invitation today for you to become a seeker of God himself. Just take a moment. And if you recognize that you are one who, you've just been busy. You've been trying to figure life out. Maybe you've tried talking to everybody you know, getting advice. Maybe you do spend hours and hours researching. Don't be under condemnation. But do repent. And say, Lord, I'm not going to waste one more day living life depending on man. I'm looking to you because you're my God. Lord, I thank you that in your plan there are solutions for marriages. Marriages that are struggling. Strengthen your people to seek you and then do the simple thing, though maybe hard. Do the simple thing that you ask them to do. Lord, I thank you for parents who seek you regarding their children, that because they seek you, their children will not be destroyed by the enemy. Because they seek you, they'll be able to prepare them for the days ahead. Lord, I pray that in this next month, those that are in careers that they chose simply because they just figured out that was the best thing but never brought it to you, as they bring it to you now and say, God, I want to spend the rest of my years in the place of service or working that you want me to, then I pray that you would show them that there would be no pressure, anxiety with it, but that you would give them wisdom and instruction, and then you would give them favor with those they would need favor. For those that you've called into full-time ministry, really our life is a full-time ministry. But there are some of you that are called to vocational full-time ministry. And you may be discouraged because you keep coming up against closed doors. But as you seek the Lord, he's going to give you instruction. And that instruction may seem like it has nothing to do with your question. But if you will follow him He will lead you exactly where you need to be. You won't miss out. Lord, I pray for those who have a hard time trusting you. They're afraid to come and seek you and to hear from you because somehow they feel they're going to miss out. I ask you to reveal your love for them in such a way that it opens their eyes to truth, that you're not a God who's trying to withhold. You're a God who already gave us his very best. And Jesus, you're proof that you're not trying to withhold any good thing from us. If you don't know how to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, just simply ask him to teach you how to recognize his voice. The Spirit of truth will never go against the written word. And the more you allow the written word to become a part of you, the more you'll be able to recognize the Spirit of truth. But simply ask him. I remember being 19 saying, I want to know how to hear your voice. Teach me how to do it. He will teach you. And when you know to recognize, how to recognize the voice of the Holy Spirit, you will not be limited by the obstacles of humanity or society or anything else. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Would you take just a moment and tell him thank you? Thank you for guiding us into all truth. Just right where you are, you can be seated or you can stand, but just if you're comfortable, lift your hands and say, Holy Spirit, fill me. Like you filled Jesus, fill me tonight. It's not a one-time filling. We often need to say, Holy Spirit, fill us to overflowing. Thank you that the very Spirit that was in Christ is in us. Not a lesser spirit, not a Holy Spirit Junior, the same one. Thank you. Thank you. You are a helper. We are not without a help. God himself is our helper. We look to you. Thank you, Lord. What a privilege to live life with you. Thank you that we don't have to wait till heaven to know you. We don't have to wait till heaven to commune with you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Would you say this with me? Say, Father, I receive the plan that you have for me. I will continuously seek you, and I will do what you say. I will step out when you say step out. I will wait when you say wait. But I will be led by you. I will follow you every day. I will walk in the plan that is already written for me. And I thank you that when I see you face to face, what I've written here on earth will look like what you've written in heaven. There is no better plan than your plan. I receive it. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 There's no better plan. I don't know how else to say it, but it amazes me that God wants to do life with us. And you living out the plan that God has called you to live and prepared causes other people to go, how you do that? Tell me about your God. How did you know that? How come that worked out? What? See, when you live out what God's prepared for you, there is evidence of who He is. And listen, everybody, I don't care how they confess they're atheists. I don't care what they say. Everybody is drawn to the plan of God in their lives because God made us that way. And everybody, there's a hope that was God placed in every person that there actually is something beyond just us. And when they begin to see evidence, man, it stirs something in the hearts of people that makes them hungry to find out what you know. Your life is life worth living. I can't wait to see Jesus face to face. And I'm telling you, I want Him to go, girl. I want Him to smile and say, you went for it. You went for it. Don't you want Him to look at you and say, you went for it? Don't be like so many believers that they look and they go, ah, I could have lived that. Nah, trust Him. And live it. Trust Him and live it.
We hope you enjoyed this message today by Jerry Dierman, Senior Pastor of The Rock. To join Operation Solid Lives, Pastor Jerry's free discipleship program, get free teaching downloads, find the campus of The Rock near you, or to become a partner with Jerry Dierman Ministries, visit us at jerrydierman.com or write to Jerry Dierman Ministries, P.O. Box 4970, Anaheim, California, 92830.